of the World, Episode 7, Under L.A. Hi, yes, hi. Hi. Yes, good. Could you wake up for a minute? Like, please? Yeah? Sure. Why? You slept on my bench. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your bench. Are you a patriot? Excuse me? A patriot? Yeah. Are you a patriot or are you a parrot? Well, a patriot, I guess. Do I have to choose? Yeah. If you're a drifter, like, you pretty much have to choose. Why? I don't know. Are you a drifter? A drifteress? No, I know where I'm going. Where are you going? To the sea. Why? I'm searching for Leviathan. Who's that? It's not a who, it's a what. What's that? A big old sea serpent. Why do you want to, like, find that? I'm trying to find out if there are any true myths in the world. Oh, there are, but, you know, you really should ask the patriot about that sort of thing. It's not really... Aren't you a patriot? Of course I am, And you said you are, too, so... I know, it's just that before you acted like it was a club or something, but just now you acted like it's one person. Yeah, we're all patriots of, like, you know, the patriot. Right, I get that. I really do, I promise. That makes perfect sense. Are you sure you're not a parrot? Do I look like a parrot? Oh, it's really hard to tell those sorts of things. Sometimes I can tell by, like, the smell, but... You don't really smell like a patriot or a parrot, to be honest, so... But you are sleeping on my bench, on patriot territory. Oh, okay, I get it. So, you all have little gangs. What fun! Sometimes it's fun, but to be honest, I really don't like it when people sleep on my territory, so... sorry. It's okay, but, it's okay because you're so pretty, but do you want to be my girlfriend, maybe? It's okay. I don't really know you. I'm Thomas Flusher O'Malley. Why, hello, Mr. Thomas O'Malley. I'm Jennifer Dash. What's your middle name? I don't have a middle name. Everyone's got a middle name. Mine's Flusher. I don't know. I wasn't given one, I guess. That doesn't work at all. That doesn't work. You have to have one. Here, I'll give you one. Aha! Got it. Tree. Tree? Tree. No. Wait. That's not right. Tree. Tree. Tree! No. Like tree. Like a tree. It's a bee. Stee. Me. Free. Yeah. Jennifer Free. Jennifer Free. Dash. Alright. Jennifer Free Dash it is. Jennifer Free Dash. Right this way. Follow me. Where are we going? You should become a patriot, I think. I want you to be on our side. How do I get to be on your side? A patriot will look at you and, like, decide, I think. That's usually how it goes, or he'll, kill you. What? Oh, right, yeah, like, if you were a parrot, maybe he'd do something like that. He did it once to a parrot, and sometimes he has others say stuff to parrots that, like, you know, kill them. I'm not going anywhere that I could be killed. But the water could kill you, too. Water? What? Listen, I think I should go. I'm sorry for sleeping on your bench. No! No! Okay, you can't go now. They'll think you're a spy. They'll think you're a spy. Thomas, don't touch me. That's not nice, Thomas. Just call me by my middle name. I will if you let me go. Good. Thank you, Flusher. Okay, okay, good. And now I have to go. You just tell your patriot whatever you want, okay? Enjoy the bench. No, no, they'll get you! Who? Who do you think, dummy? The parrots! I think I'll be okay. But they're watching us right now. Right now. I doubt that. Just like, please, come a little ways with me and everything will be alright. That way, I can keep you safe. What was your name again? Jen. No, no, your real name, like, your middle name.
I'm going now, Thomas. It was nice to meet you.
Okay, goodbye then. Oh, wait! Thank goodness! Tiff! Hey, Tiff! Over here! Come here! Tiff! Flush nugget out of your old crack pipe. Ow. You get what you yell, now shut up. But that girl walking, yeah, she was on my bench.
Yeah, she with us or against us?
Doesn't smell like either, but she's real pretty. Do you think, like, the Patriot would want her?
I don't know. Let me get a look at her.
Hey, you! You were talking to my little brother?
Oh, yeah.
Well, come over here. What did you say to him?
I didn't say anything.
She said that we could be boyfriend and girlfriend. Why would you tell my brother something like that and then walk away?
I'm sorry. I didn't. I didn't say anything like that. I just told him my name.
Are you calling my brother a liar?
No. I guess so.
You know he's not all there. You shouldn't play tricks on people like him.
I'm sorry. He woke me up, I was confused, and he was telling me all about these little gangs or something, and he wanted me to come with him. I didn't know what to do, so I just thought I'd leave.
Little gangs?
Yes, ma'am. Something about patriots and parrots?
You're not from around here, are you?
No.
Are you hungry? Got anything to eat?
Actually, no. I don't.
Come with us. I was just coming to get Flush and grab some grub. You can come with us if you'd like.
Where are you going?
I haven't introduced myself yet, have I?
No. Hi. I'm Jennifer Dash.
Jennifer Free Dash. I gave her a middle name.
Free Dash. That's fun.
Good name, and Flush.
Thanks.
You can just call me Jen.
Jen, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Tiff, and you've already met my older brother, Flusher, here.
How'd you get that name, Flusher?
That's a unique one.
Yeah, well... Hey, Flush, you mind if the three of us take a seat on your bench for a sec?
If Free promises to be my, girlfriend, then it's fine.
You can't force people to be your girlfriend. Remember what happened with Clarice?
I remember.
Who's Clarice?
Here, I think we need to explain a thing or two.
Okay.
Right, so Jen, my brother and I grew up in government homes. You know, that sort of thing. We never met our mothers. As far as we know, they never wanted to meet us either.
They?
I met Flush at an orphanage. He sort of latched onto me, and we've claimed each other ever since.
We were boyfriend and girlfriend, but then Tiff found out we were brother and sister, so we couldn't, be together anymore. In that way.
Yeah, so Flush and I ended up on the street. You said you're not from around here?
No, I just landed, off a train yesterday.
Well, it's a good thing you weren't here 10 years ago, Jen. Things were bad, really bad. The cops patrolled the streets at night, and if they found you and you were a minor, they'd throw you into jail until some quote-unquote family would come to pick you up. But they weren't real families. They were part of a ring set up by the police to push kids around. You know what I mean.
I gotta be honest, I have no idea what you're getting at.
How old are you?
17.
But you're younger than that, aren't you? 15, 14 maybe?
17.
Really?
Alright, well, if you were a year younger, I'd tell you more, but I guess you're okay at this point. So it's best that you don't know.
Oh. The point is, Jen, it was bad to be found by the cops, and if they didn't like the look of your face or if you were too old, they'd just beat you and keep you locked up for a few days without food or water. Flush nearly died of thirst once. It was bad.
I almost died.
Then, when times were worst on the street, the Patriot came. He was one of us, yet better than us. More complex, more cool, and he had a plan. There are certain tricks you learn from living on the street that you can't learn locked up in some cubicle staring at a computer. Tricks and secrets and stuff. Even if you embed microchips in every manhole and cameras in every stop sign, you'll still miss things. You'll miss context. You'll miss the real plan. Patriot created a complex.
Don't tell her everything.
Flusher, I think she could be the one.
My girlfriend?
No, dummy. The one Patriot's looking for. The one we've all been looking for.
Whoa. Slow down there, new friends. I'm a little uneasy with this Chosen One business. I'm just a girl traveling around.
We all have gifts, Jen. We all have very specific things God gave each of us. He made each one of us unique, and so we each have something to give, something to share.
And you suppose that my gift fits into your leader's plans?
I don't know what your gift is. I know my gift. I find the right people to plug to the right holes. 4 months. I've been eyeing the streets for a person just like you.
Okay. What do you see in me that makes me so special?
First, let me tell you how it is. And then you'll have all the facts. With that, you can choose for yourself.
Alright, then go on.
Good. So, the Patriot knew he could accumulate power by organizing eyes and ears on the street. You ever heard of the FBI?
Yeah.
Well, those retards are the enemy. The local police just plays into their hand. The FBI wants to suppress and enslave every living American alive.
Every living American alive? Y'all are conspiracy theorists.
No, there's no conspiracy. There's a battle being fought. The Patriots are on one side, those putrid parrots are on the other.
Don't wage war.
Huh? What's that?
Oh, nothing. Just a phrase I heard recently.
Anyway, Patriots came first, just like Sam Adams and Saul Revere. We've been here since the beginning, saving the country from the Redcoats. In our times, the Patriot is our leader. He organized all the oppressed, all the beaten down, unloved puppies of the street.
Yeah, like me and Tiff.
Yep, that's right. He got us to listen to everything. And in return, he took care of us. He's loved us, and he has given us a vision.
And how is he able to do all this caring and loving for y'all? Is he a millionaire?
He doesn't need to be. He gives the country what it needs, and in return he gets whatever he asks for.
Huh. How does that work?
The CIA. They're the ones in the government that work in the light. They work for the people. They fight the FBI, and we fight the parrots.
Okay, so, if this is all true, shouldn't you be keeping quiet about all this?
How do you know I'm not some kind of, parrot spy and I'm not gonna fly off to the big cockatiel in the sky to recite all the secrets you've told me today?
Like, heck yeah! What you doing telling all of their secrets, Tiff? What you doing?
Shut up, numbskull. If she's a parrot, then she already knows all this. I haven't told her anything they don't already know.
Oh, right.
So now you know.
Will you come with us?
We'll feed you, and you can meet the Patriot. He'll size you up, and if he likes you, he'll ask you if you'd like to join our movement.
What if I say no?
Then you walk away with a full tummy.
And then parrots will get you. You gotta come with us, Jennifer Free.
Okay. Just tell me one thing.
Yep.
Where is this Patriot base?
And so Jen followed Thomas Flusher O'Malley and Tiff on foot. Up and over fences, down ravines. She would have swore they were marching through backyards half a dozen times, only to be relieved to find back outlets that stretched into seemingly new and endless suburban frontiers. None of them talked while they walked. Or rather, Flusher yabbered on incessantly, but it all sounded like far-off noises to Jen. She was deeply centered in her own world.
deeply invested in how she would decide the next few decisions that lay in front of her. She undoubtedly had no concept whatsoever of who these people were, or where they truly wished to take her. They can mean her much malice. It's entirely possible. Once upon a time, Jen watched a post-apocalyptic film where a lady cried at the side of the road, weeping for help. When a good Samaritan did slow down to help, a gang popped out and popped a bullet in the civil servant's head. This could be just like that. They could traffic her. They could lead her into a den of vipers. And that was no hyperbole, no paranoid delusion. Jen's a lamb lost in the urban wilderness. They quite probably were wolves. She had to go into this knowing that. So why go? Why take the risk? Jen knew why exactly, but thus far had been able to successfully push down that reasoning on this adventure. You see, there was no good answer besides the one she was trying to deny herself. Nevertheless, here it was, the only answer worth fighting for. Boredom. The whole of her expedition, the entirety of her mindset to solve the world, at least in part, derived itself from the very being of boredom. Following a gang of homeless into their den surely wouldn't help her solve the world's deepest questions. The reason to risk Jen's welfare and life for it was none other than a relief from boredom itself. Knowing this, that boredom brought her forward on today's trail, and not her magnanimous drive to fully understand life and all its beings, gave Jen a certain confidence. Nothing had to be on the line. She could say yes or no to whatever catches her whimsy. If the Patriot's nice, go with it. If he's Jabba the Hutt incarnate, maybe scamper off before he decides he likes us best in skimpy bikini wear. The threesome arrived at a very giant palm tree that stood at a nearly 45-degree angle in a ditch behind a factory. Fumes from the factory left a thin layer of sulfuric taste on one's mouth, and the color turned everything in the air an ashen orange. Jen marveled at how she seemingly time-traveled from modern-day Los Angeles to a recently gassed World War I trench. "Here's where we descend," said Tiff, catching Jen's apprehension. "Excuse me, what?" Jen replied. "Patriots live underground. You'll see. It's much better than up here," Flusher said, peering about the factory.
"Whew, okay."
Flusher dug at the ground just in front of the palm tree. Underneath the sheet of dirt and grass was a wooden door. Flusher found a dangling string, pulled it, and suddenly an albatross of underground halls revealed itself to Jen.
"Amazing."
"I know, right?" Tiff smiled, trying to act the part of best friend. So they descended. They climbed down 15 or so steps before arriving at the base level. From there, in all four directions, another set of stairs awaited them. They chose what Jen suspected was the west entrance, although she had no good reason to suspect that at all, seeing that she couldn't even find the ocean after a day's march. As they walked, Jen was able to peer into smallish alcoves wherein various mole people appeared to be living and sleeping. Some of the alcoves just had a bed, or bunk beds, while others seemed to have various degrees of normal household wares. A couch here, a fine china cabinet there. It was a great big melange of half-lives. It looked as if these people were pretending to live life down here. As if this was their play place for when they wanted to play underground house. The alcoves went on for ages. Jen lost all semblance of time. They just walked straight, for miles and miles.
"What is this place?" Jen finally asked.
It's the Patriot's home that he, like, shares with all of us."
Jen caught the attention of one particular alcover who looked to be maybe 60, and missing an eye. She wasn't sure if it was a he or a she. "The one-eyed man is king," Jen thought. Patriot was given this land. This underland, Jen thought. Many years ago by the CIA. It was his introductory price, you could say. He needed space to establish his network, his kingdom on Earth. The CIA saw the value in that and made the trade. These caverns for the priceless knowledge that he can provide. Flusher felt the need to add,
"And tell her, like, about the where the government got this place from."
"This must have been a sewer, right?" Tiff chuckled. "You ever seen a sewer with built-in beds like this?"
"Nope.
This place serves its function now as it always has."
"I don't get it. Who would live down here when you could live up in the sun?"
Tiff stopped walking and turned to Jen.
Now that is a good question. She turned back around and continued to lead onward. No one knows for sure. If you want to talk conspiracy theories, that's where you should start. But no time for that now. We're to the entrance hall. Jen had failed to notice that the trail itself had gotten increasingly smaller. They'd left the alcoves behind. In front of them now was just a wall. Tiff knocked quickly and counted as she went. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 136. What are you doing? Step back, Tiff replied, and as they stepped, the wall swung open towards them like a door. The path in front was pitch black. We're going to step into darkness. The wall will close and the lights will come on. Uniformly, they took one step in.
This part's always scary.
Like a boulder, the wall door swung shut. Darkness. Jen held her breath. If she did breathe, she'd belie the fact that her pulse was running out of control. She hated the dark. No, not just the dark, the deep blackness that resides within the dark. Trying to calm herself down, Jen turned inward. What was it that stranger told her? Whatever we are, we become more of that over time. Jen focused on that. Maybe these people were generations of homeless underground dwellers. Maybe they've become more and more themselves, underdwellers, over time. That thought frightened Jen. She pictured blind mole rats digging these tunnels, preparing this eternal night just to trap young girls like her. She panicked. Where were the lights? In this darkness, she could be anywhere. What was happening? Jen fought the urge to panic and scratch at the walls of darkness. Her heart skipped a beat before. Lights up. Jen screamed.
Hey, if you're looking to do something while you're listening to Solve the World, and you don't just sit in a darkened room when you listen, why not make some art? We've received a bunch of fan art over time from many listeners. Some really great stuff. Everything from posters of Solve the World to paintings of Leviathan. So if you're an artist and you want to do some fan art, feel free to send that to me at dantestack@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/solvetheworldpodcast. If you're like me and you can't draw worth a darn, but you enjoy looking at the work of others, we have a specific fan zone on dantestack.com where I publish all of the work that you guys have sent in to me. You can find that at dantestack.com under the Fan Zone tab in the Solve the World section. Guys, all the music and sound effects you heard in this episode and every other episode of Solve the World are appropriately attributed on our show notes page at dantestack.com. Thanks.
Hello, I am Jason Noyes from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Listen to all 100 episodes of Jen's story. Next time, discover what the fuss is about Jen's hope to live another day and see the sun again. Since she's about to meet a person of influence, power, and cruelty, someone who has the keys to doors that can lead to a life of luxury or one of pain. No one said it would be easy to solve the world.